Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the official Lost audio podcast hosted by ABC.com. Well, hopefully by now you've seen the shape of things to come and are looking forward to something nice back home. Because, yes, that is the name of the next episode. Which airs this coming Thursday, May 1st at 10 p.m. on ABC, and is available the next day at abc.com. So, without further ado, we have with us today executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse to rehash our latest episode and ask the question, how many types of salt are there? For more tantalizing info on that subject and a few actually related to the show, stay tuned. Also, be sure to check out our video podcast feed this week. We have a little something special for everyone from London. And set decorator Carol Kelly joins us for a tour of the freighter. You can find that along with other spiffy podcasts at abc.com. Here now are Damon and Carlton.
Well, how do, Damon?
I'm good, Carlton. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Is that like a cowboy greeting?
It's kind of a cowboy greeting.
Yeah, it's sort of like howdy.
Exactly.
I like it.
You've got your spurs on today, so I don't know why you started wearing those this week. What was that?
I will show you later. it's not really
for podcast. Is this a PG podcast or a G podcast?
At the very least, it'll be PG-13 when we're done with it. I just want to say it's so nice to be back on an audio podcast. I'm much more comfortable with these than
I am. Look nice, though.
Well, I wasn't looking for that compliment, but I appreciate it. I just like this much better.
Okay. Well, here we are. You have our dulcet tones as opposed to our visages.
And the show is back.
And
episode that was written when we came back by Mr. Drew Goddard and Mr. Brian K. Vaughn. If any of you know what Brian's middle name stands for, what the K stands for, we would be in your debt forever. It's a big mystery here at the show. Right up there with the four-toed statue. So please write in with your guesses.
And the smoke monster.
And the smoke monster. That's right. But they wrote this one, The Shape of Things to Come, which is taken from an H.G. Wells novel.
Right. And we actually get to see Smokey, which is good.
That's true.
Damon and I were walking across the lot the other day, and this guy drives up alongside us in this truck, and he's like, rolls the window, and he goes, hey, I need you guys to tell me, what is the smoke monster? And then we looked over and we saw it was the Disney Fire Marshal.
So, you know, I like that the Fire Marshal has an appreciation for Smokey because, you know, he probably knows a lot about smoke.
Right. Let's talk about the episode.
Episode 4 and 9.
So, Damon, let me ask you something in the words of Chris White.
Yes.
How indeed did Ben appear in the desert wearing a parka-like jacket? Did Ben appear in the same place as the polar bear skull was found?
What a fascinating question, Carlton / Chris White. Well, first off, we have a code phrase for the Dharma Parka, which is that it's a darka.
Yeah.
And they will be available this fall from Scandia down, and we're looking forward to that.
We should sell Dharma Parkas.
How Ben appeared in the desert is actually an excellent question, one which will be answered at some point in the course of the show, but very often we get asked, do you guys know what you're doing? Do you make it up as you go along? Yada, yada, yada. And that's gone away to some degree since we announced the end of the show. But every once in a while, we feel like we need to do long setups, and this is one of them. So basically, we see Ben appearing in the desert. There seems to be some sort of vapor rising off of him. He seems to be disoriented as to where he is, and then once he arrives in Tunisia.
Is that Vicks vapor rub?
It could have been. That's what the A-side is, that he was applying Vicks Vapor Rub. But he asked this woman.
Maybe we could get them to sponsor our podcast.
And them in Scandia down?
Yeah.
I think we should.
We're doing a lot of product name dropping here.
I like it. It'll all be bleeped out by Chris by the time this is all said and done. We might as well be cursing.
Exactly.
In any case,
in other words, we will see him perhaps in a future episode wearing the same parka that he appeared in the Tunisian desert in?
That's what I assume would be the plan. That's how I would be able to connect in my head how we got here. So
cool.
That would be cool.
Awesome.
And as far as, we know that Ben pops up in Tunisia, and we know that that's where Charlotte found the polar bear skull. So at least they're both in Tunisia. I don't know if that's exactly the same spot, per se. But
coincidence? I think not.
Not a lot of coincidences on this show.
No. Let's talk about the monster, Damon.
Yes.
So what is going on here? Does Ben have control over the monster? And where did Ben go when he went into a room? He didn't go under the house, Chris.
Well, that's all. It's all a matter of Chris's own warped sensibilities. Maybe there was like an ancient escalator into that room behind the secret room.
When you would get mad at your parents, would you crawl under your house?
I love, by the way, in watching that episode, the idea that Ben has a secret room to the secret room.
Yeah.
That is, God forbid anyone ever discovers my secret room where I keep all my passports and suits. If Saeed had thought to look behind the secret room for yet another secret room.
So would it be fair to say that in a future season we'll discover that the secret room has a secret room?
I think that as long as the show is on, there's always a new secret room to be found. But obviously, Ben went into that room, and when he emerged, he was covered in soot.
Soot, dirt, dust.
And then he basically says, we better get rolling, and then the monster shows up. So is there some sort of monster hotline? Does he have, a bat signal down there that summons the monster? Hurley says, did you call that thing? What happened, Carlton?
Well, it wasn't
inquiring minds want to know.
It wasn't literally a bat signal. That right. We can confirm. He did not literally shine a beam up into the sky, but I think it would be a fair deduction to say that he summoned the monster, but it also seems pretty clear from what's going on in that scene that, there are consequences to summoning the monster that even Ben doesn't have control over. He looked a little nervous and was like, let's skedaddle.
So is the idea then that when Ben said to Locke, I don't know what the monster is, that he wasn't telling the truth?
I don't think he was telling the complete truth there.
Oh, Ben.
Oh, Ben. But, Ben, you really have to take everything Ben says with a large grain of Morton's salt. Iodized Morton's salt.
Wow, this is this is the name dropping. Can you tell that we're looking for a new sponsor?
By the way, we get nothing from sponsorship. We just are mentioning products that, we'd like to see on our podcast.
That we use. Morton's salt is the only table salt that I'm aware of. Oh, and it's America's favorite table salt.
There are other salts out there, Damon, believe me.
Is Morton's
hearing from a lot of salt manufacturers.
I will. I'm looking forward to that. One more question before we get into the fan questions. At the end of this episode, there's this phenomenal scene between Michael Emerson and Alan Dale, who plays Charles Widmore. Obviously, I think we can now divulge that this scene was not shot in Hawaii. It's one of the few scenes ever in the history of the show that was not shot in Hawaii. Carlton, would you like to tell us where it was shot?
Yeah, I mean, we actually shot the scene in London. Alan Dale is currently starring in Spamalot in London and was unable to travel to Hawaii. So we actually flew Michael Emerson and Jack Bender, our director, and John Bartley, our director of photography, and they all went to London and we filmed the scene over there. Now, of course, the irony of shooting in London is that our special effects department, led by our whiz special effects supervisor, Mitch Suskind, they are so good that, when you actually see a foreign location in the show, it doesn't really actually improve it that much to actually be in an actual foreign country. But right. We went there.
Because we shot the Iraq stuff, obviously, in Hawaii, and it right. looks very good.
Or Desmond chucking the ring into the Thames was shot in Hawaii
right.
on a canal, like in Honolulu. But needless to say, it was more than worth making the trip because Alan Dale is just superb in that scene, as is Michael Emerson. And, we kind of viewed that as sort of our version of the famous De Niro Pacino scene in Heat. That was sort of a major seismic event in our show where these two really significant characters who are obviously deeply involved in the show's mythology sit down and meet and talk for the first time on screen. And it exceeded our wildest dreams and was really beautifully awesome. Acted and well directed.
And Ben says to Widmore, you changed the rules, Charles. And the whole idea that these two guys have some sort of code between the two. He also right. says, are you here to kill me, Benjamin? And I can't do that. So
right. Or there might be some larger forces governing that code.
Larger forces than even Widmore and Ben?
Yes.
Or a larger force.
A larger force, exactly.
Well, that's on that sort of tantalizing.
That's a pretty good rehash.
I think it is.
Most of the time we just kind of buzz through that and I'd give ourselves a C.
But that
was better. Let's give it a
B minus.
No, A minus.
Wow.
You're hard on yourself.
I'm hard on you. I give myself an A+, and I give you a D, and then I averaged it. Well, let's just be honest.
Wow.
Let's prehash episode 410,
get on to these
which is called Something Nice Back Home.
Yes. Well, it looks like Jack was not feeling too well.
Yeah, what was up with that? Just a bad day?
I think it's probably more than a bad day.
Perhaps a constipation?
Gas?
He's like holding his side.
He's certainly not feeling well. That's important.
Jack is going to be popping some pills in the next episode, but that's all we're really willing to say about that.
All right, shall we get to some questions here?
Oh, please, let's.
All right, time for some questions. You seem very excited about your questions, so why don't you go first?
I've got some good ones.
All right.
I'm going to start with this one.
All right.
This is submitted by White Rock Black Rock. Hey, guys. First, I would like to say wonderful show. Congrats for the extra hour of the season. I nearly peed myself when I heard. Okay, here's my question. When Juliet goes into the Tempest Station on the catwalk, there is a panel. This is, we're talking about episode 4 or 6 now, the other woman. There is a panel that says Box Maker with a bunch of buttons and switches in the background. Was that supposed to be there? Maybe Locke is supposed to go to the Tempest and start making boxes for Dharma. And could this be why Walt told Locke, you have work to do? Keep up the mind bending.
Wow. No, none of that is true.
All right. Those are the easiest kind of questions. But I thought it was a very clever question.
That was a very clever question. You know, sometimes our sets are too clever for their own good, actually. That was an amazing set. That was actually a dairy in Hawaii, an abandoned or, I guess, shut down dairy. Damon, this is a very simple question, and it's from Alpha Omega 1964. Do the fish and birds go through the time warp?
Do the fish and birds go through the time warp? Well, it sounds like this, you're steering this towards Ezra James Sharkington in some way. If the birds are flying at the right bearing, then they're fine. But if not, they are susceptible to, you know, time warping, which, you know, in all seriousness, what does that say for the little carrier pigeon that Claire released last season? When will it show up?
Wow. But Ezra, does Ezra know the bearings?
All I'm going to say is this, and don't ask any follow-up questions. Ezra James Sharkington was born in the year 1805. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Okay. All right. I would not even know where to begin to ask a follow-up question to that.
First off, to be named Ezra James Sharkington, that's your first clue right there. I mean, you know, that's it. That is
an 1805
name,
if there ever was one.
That's an old-timey name.
Yeah.
So, but I think now that you asked the question, it's time for us to
reveal
the first thing that you don't know about Ezra James Sharkington.
That he's 203 years old.
Yes, which is longer than the average lifespan for a shark.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right, Carlton, this is from Lockhart Sky. The question, Dear Damon Carlton, great job with Lost. I absolutely love it. I am excited to see how the season ends. I originally didn't start watching Lost until I was living in Korea. It's very popular here because of Yoon-jin Kim. I was pleased to see her in Lost when I had been already familiar with her from some of her Korean movies. I think she's excellent and beautiful. I bring up Korea and Yoon-jin Kim because my podcast question is related to the same subject matter. I was watching the episode Ji-yeon over again, and I noticed something strange the second time viewing the show. When Sun is in the hospital, the nurse puts her wedding ring into a bag with her name on the bag. However, the name on the bag is not Sun's name. In Korea, the wife does not take the family name of her husband, so in Korea, her name would be written as Paik Sun Hwa, and not as Kwon Sun Hwa, since Kwon was her husband's family name. Their children, however, will take on the father's family name, yet the mystery is that the name on the bag in which her ring was placed and said, Kwon Sung Hae. So even if Sun's last name were written as Kwon, her first name is definitely not Sung Hae, but it is Sun Hwa. Is this a mistake, or is this some kind of clue about something else?
Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry. Did you say I had to pay attention while you were talking fast? Or I couldn't remember what I was supposed to do. Was
just
I supposed
say,
to talk fast
just,
or
just
pay
say
attention?
Mistake. And moving
we
on.
Are so busted. I mean, that was like a Perry Mason cross at the end of a detective show. That's one of those like scenes where you're so nailed, you have nowhere to go. Yes, busted, guilty, take us to the slammer.
So from now on, all unintentional actual mistakes will be referred to as sunwas.
That was a sunwa. Okay, Matt Mead, 86. Hey, Carlton and Damon, your podcasts are awesome and so is your show. Speaking of the shows, are we going to ever see any more traditional Lost flashbacks? By that I mean flashbacks that take place off the island before they ever were on the island, or I just need to get used to the new Lost that we see in Season 4. Not that Lost isn't still great, but I sometimes miss the old-school flashbacks that focus less on the larger plot and more on individual characters before the island changed their lives. And I am not a user of Morton Salt. Thanks for making the best show ever made.
Wow. That's like amazing that they knew that we'd be talking about Morton Salt in this podcast and showed a lot of, you know, precognitive ability there.
Maybe he was not riding on the right bearing.
Maybe. I think the answer to the question is, all bets are off. We reserve the right to do flashbacks, flash forwards, flash sideways, and none of the above as well. I think when you guys see what we have cooking for these final 6 hours of the show, hopefully over the course of the 8 months between the finale and the premiere of the show, under which we will once again be in one form of radio silence or another, you will be asking, what is season 5 going to be? And that is our intention. So hopefully you will get a little bit of that old nostalgia back at some point before the show is over. But for now, we're doing something a little different, and we feel that it's working pretty well.
I, for one, would like to know more about Jack's tattoos.
Well, it's funny you should ask about Jack, Carlton, because Russell Survived 815 with 75 posts asked the following question. Hola, Damon and Carlton. I was just sitting in bed thinking about how little we've seen of Jack this season. Even though he was in several flash forwards, there has not been any episode that was Jack-centric. Just wondering if we will get to see a Jack-centric episode by the end of season 4. Keep up the podcasts. They're hilarious. Saltily yours, Russell Survived 815.
I don't know. The image of Russell lying in bed thinking about Jack is not a good one. But
I think it's a great one.
Yes, Jack perhaps has been underutilized at the beginning of the season, but hopefully by the end of the season you will feel the porridge is just right.
I would say even perhaps next week and something nice back home, that considering Jack has got this very bad gas pain, or perhaps something even worse,
you think
we will be centering on him.
Yes, we'll be doing the... it's possible that you could be seeing either a flashback or a flash forward of that gas pain.
Ooh, could Jack be pregnant like that dude on Oprah?
That's awesome. So this is from others in other places.
Wow.
The question is possible spinoff. So what are the chances of us getting a spinoff series with Hurley and a chimpanzee? Think Lost meets BJ and the Bear.
Oh.
This could be a great lighthearted romp that happens either during or after the zombie season in order to bring people's moods back up after seeing Zombie Kate eat Jack because he thinks he can fix this. Just a thought. Loving the new season. Joe.
I think you'd better send that idea to the Writers Guild immediately before we steal it. I just love the idea that that's the one thing we had considered in the zombie season is like, how do we have, where does hope come from? When the despair sets in of rotting flesh and eating each other and
already being, you know,
and
undead.
Being dead.
Yeah.
You know.
You're actually even undead. I mean, you're being undead.
Yeah, exactly. You can't even be dead. You can't die. People won't even be asking us who's going to die this week anymore in the zombie season. Where will the audience turn? And the answer is Hurley and a chimpanzee.
Or people eating each other, I mean, as a sign of hope. I mean, like, the idea that Joe thinks that if Kate were to eat Jack, that would be hopeful.
I have so many things I want to say right now, all of which would catapult this out of the PG-13 podcast and into an R-rated podcast. So I will keep them to myself, and I will ask you my final question,
okay,
Carlton.
Thank you very much.
This is from Lockhart Sky, podcast question. Hello, Damon and Carlton. I will not refer to you as Darlton because I just don't think that it fits you. Despite the fact that it has caught on and other people call you that now, it sounds too much like a name for a romantic couple. In regards to the show, some friends of mine pointed something out to me recently that had previously never crossed my mind. They thought that in the episode called The Other Woman, when Juliet meets Harper in the forest and is told to Charlotte and Faraday at the Tempest, that this moment Harper was not the real Harper. Whether she was a manifestation of the island or the smoke monster or whatever, my friends didn't know. I never really thought of it. So my question is, can you confirm or deny anything about this scene in regards to her being real, an apparition, the island, the smoke monster, etc.?
No, it really was Harper, but the thought that people are now going to question when any character appears on the show whether they're actually real or a fake version of that character or the smoke monster, that actually... I'm feeling some shooting pains in my my left arm right now.
That's because of you should lower the amount of sodium in your diet. And we've gone full circle. But seriously,
that was Harper. There's only one Harper. There's no smoke monster.
There were whispers. I think there were whispers heralding her arrival and her departure. So maybe
she's another.
Led to the confusion. But
yeah, that is true.
She's a real corporal other who, you know, is wherever the rest of the others are.
Well, Damon.
Yes, Carlton.
I guess that's enough of an assault on our audience for today.
Can you tell that we've been writing the finale for the last 72
hours? We just
hours?
Actually are doing our final revisions, which is such a relief. That was that's a lot of writing. I mean, we've done 6 hours of the show in concert with our writing staff in
8 weeks.
8 weeks, which is just an immense amount of work. But we're happy, we're excited, and we're heading off to Hawaii to be involved in the shooting of the finale, and so we will not be back with you next week. But
by
we'll
involved, he doesn't mean like we're going to be appearing.
We will so, not be in. We will. Yes. We're going down to Hawaii to watch Jack Bender and Stephen Williams do their magic directing the finale and see our actors. And so we will not be back next week, but we will be back the following week
to give you an advanced look at episode 12 and a look back at episodes 10 and 11.
Right. Bye, David.
Bye, Carlton.
That's it for this edition of the audio podcast. As the gentleman from Lost pointed out, we'll be back in 2 weeks to rehash Something Nice Back Home, as well as the episode after that, entitled Cabin Fever. Don't forget, Lost airs at its new time this coming Thursday, May 1st at 10:01 p.m., with the episode Something Nice Back Home.